And I want you to turn in God's word as we worship to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to talk about being ambassadors for Christ. Actually, this is a subset of can't we all just get along? Because we talked about the fact that the only way to get along is in Jesus Christ and the gospel. The only way. And so Jesus came preaching that. The apostles then came preaching that. And now we, men and women, come preaching, communicating, sharing that, amen, as ambassadors, as his formal representatives, his envoys, his diplomats. What a privilege. In the shadow of the United Nations, we serve not any president, prime minister, or king. We serve the King of Kings, amen, the Lord of Lords. What a privilege for us. And so in this most personal of Paul's epistles to a church, which is 2 Corinthians, he says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, he says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We beg you, we beseech you for Christ's sake, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God." And in this passage, Paul gives us a profound profile of what an ambassador of Jesus Christ looks like. The qualities, amen? The characteristics of an ambassador. You have an outline in your bulletin we'll be using for the next couple of weeks. And so you can look at the first truth there. And that is, first and foremost, when God calls a man or woman to be an ambassador for the King of Kings, he wants that man or woman to please the boss. Amen? The number one goal, the number one purpose, the only reason to live as a Christian is to please the big boss. Everything we do, everything we say, every relationship, every motive, every attitude, every speech is to please him. And so we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. "Therefore, we are always confident and know, as long as we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord." He means as long as we're alive in the flesh now on earth, we're not with him face to face in heaven. Amen? "But we live by faith right now, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." And as we get older, all the older folks said, amen. So we make it our goal to what? To please him. See that? We're ambassadors. And in the context, the very first quality is we make it our goal. It's our aim. It's our raison d'etre, right? It's our reason for being is what? It is to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. That is, whether we're on earth or we're in heaven, please him. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one, each man and woman who knows Christ, may receive what is due him or her for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." You say, what does that mean? Does it mean we're going to be condemned? No, every genuine Christian is secure in the love of God forever. God's love is forever. But every Christian will stand before the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. We will give an account to our Lord of the life we've lived as believers. Not to be condemned, we'll be in his presence forever. His grace has taken care of that. But we'll give an account of the life we've lived as believers, and then on the basis of the faithfulness of that life, we will receive rewards or we will lose rewards. We will not lose our salvation, but will we reward it in that sense of faithfulness? The Bible teaches that, and so we teach that, amen? We're not here to give you our opinion. The Bible teaches that, whether good or bad. And so therefore, he says, make it your aim to please him in everything because you'll give an account one day. And he's absolutely right. We will. we will. Isn't it awesome when you see men and women who name the name of Christ living in a way that pleases God? Isn't that a beautiful witness? How many of you have been following this amazing story of Liberia and the Ebola virus and Dr. Brentley and the wonderful lady who's a healthcare worker there as well? They got infected, serving so lovingly and sacrificially, came back to Atlanta. Now they've both been discharged. What a story of two people with Samaritan's purse who went there to please God and to serve the people of Liberia. If you've been following that, it's been an amazing thing. How many of you saw Dr. Brentley's Thanksgiving, or I guess his thank you, a little message that he gave as he was being discharged? Anybody see that on TV? I saw it on CNN, actually. It was really amazing, and I was so moved by that. As I thought about this message, an ambassador wants to what? Please the boss, no matter what. How much pleasure did he bring to God in his testimony, and she as well. He said in front of the mics, he said to the whole world, today is a miraculous day. I'm thrilled to be alive, to be well, and to be reunited with my family. And his wife was right there next to him. She was beaming and crying, and she was doing all of that. It was amazing to see the love. He says, as a medical missionary, I never imagined myself in this position. When my family and I moved to Liberia to serve a two-year term with Samaritan's Purse, Ebola was not on the radar. We moved to Liberia because God called us to serve the people of Liberia. That's the witness. On Wednesday, July 23rd, I woke up feeling under the weather, and then my life took an unexpected turn as I was diagnosed with Ebola. As I lay in my bed in Liberia for the following 9 days, getting sicker and weaker each day, I prayed that God would help me be faithful even in my illness. And I prayed that in my life or in my death, that he would be glorified. What pleasure do you think that brought to God? Remember our verse? We live by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. And he says, in my life or in my death, that he would be glorified. I did not know then, but I've learned since, that there were thousands, maybe even millions of people praying for me through that week and even still today. And I have heard story after story of how this situation has impacted the lives of individuals around the globe, around the world, and among my friends and my family, but also among complete strangers, he said. This witness. I cannot thank you enough for your prayers and your support, but what can I tell you is that I serve a faithful God who answers prayers. And he's sharing this with the world. The world. Through the care of the Samaritan's Purse and my SIM missionary team in Liberia, the use of an experimental drug, and the expertise and resources of healthcare team at Emory University Hospital, God saved my life, a direct answer to thousands and thousands of prayers. I am incredibly thankful for all those who were involved in my care from the first day of my illness all the way to today. Thank you to the Liberia community, Emory Hospital, so many of you, my family, friends, and church family. Please don't stop praying for the people of Liberia and West Africa and for a quick end to this Ebola epidemic. I am forever grateful to God for sparing my life. I'm glad for any attention my affliction has attracted to the plight of West Africa in the midst of this epidemic. Please continue to pray for Liberia, West Africa. Continue to encourage those in positions of leadership and influence to do everything possible to bring this outbreak to an end. An ambassador's only purpose in life is to please the big boss. Amen? Is to put the big boss's name in lights. To put the big boss's kingdom's agenda in light. Amen. What a witness. If you saw it on TV, you saw when he finished, the 20 or so medical professionals that were behind him, many were already in tears. Everyone was impacted, believer and unbeliever alike. And if you remember, Dr. Brentley and his wife went to each one and hugged them, hugged them, hugged them. It was very powerful. All I could think as I watched and prepared for this message was how much God must be pleased. Amen. An ambassador for Christ. What a witness. Love and truth. Boldness, but love. Amen. And thankfulness. What a winsome witness. Amen. Glory to God. You know, as I watched that, so moved by how he was pleasing God, it reminded me of a verse in Hebrews. I want you to look at Hebrews 11 for a moment. Hebrews 11. Of course, Hebrews 11 is the great chapter on faith, the great hall of faith, right? The hall of fame for many believers who had faithfully honored God and served God. And some were blessed in this life, and some actually gave their lives as martyrs. But in Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 5 and 6, we're introduced to a man who many of you have heard of, and that's a man named Enoch. And it reminded me a little bit of Dr. Brentley. And let me read it and share why it reminded me of Dr. Brentley. It didn't and it did all at the same time. Chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. And he could not be found because God had taken him away. Now, in the case of Dr. Brantley, it doesn't fit with Enoch because God took Enoch physically out. He didn't take Dr. Brantley physically out of the world, right? But it says he did not experience death, Enoch. And in this moment, it struck me when Dr. Brantley said, God delivered me from death. He delivered me from death. And then he said in the passage, but before Enoch was taken, he was commended as one who what? Who pleased God. As one who pleased God. Even as Dr. Brentley did. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. He says it emphatically. Without faith, without trust in this God who creates and sustains and redeems, without faith in this God, God cannot be pleased. It's a fool's errand to try to please God without trusting him. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists. I thought to myself, was there anybody in that room or watching on television, whether they were believer or unbeliever alike, who wouldn't be convinced that Dr. Brentley believes that this God exists? And that he, this God, is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Would anybody watching not believe that Dr. Brentley really believes this? And he did it with love, amen, and with thanksgiving. We can learn a ton about being a witness for Christ, watching him, amen, to please God. It's our only calling to please and glorify God. He's the only boss, the only one. Now, of course, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians and to us, and Dr. Brentley himself, were motivated by another witness, another one who pleased God. And of course, that was our Lord Jesus Christ, who pleased him perfectly, perfectly, That's what inspired Paul. That's who inspires Dr. Brentley and is to inspire us. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 50 for a moment. The purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came was to please God by fulfilling the purpose for which God the Father sent him into the world, and that was to be the Savior of the world, amen, to give his life as a ransom for our sins. He came to please God and fulfill that mission. And of course, the Old Testament speaks of the Messiah who would come and the mission that he would embrace. Sometimes our Jewish friends don't know that the Messiah is preached in the Old and the New Testament. Jesus is preached from Genesis to Revelation. And so 700 years before Jesus was born, before God took flesh in Jesus of Nazareth, 700 years before that, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, moved by the Spirit of God, spoke a prophecy. But the prophecy he spoke was not about himself primarily. It was about the Messiah who would come. And so the Messiah is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And we know that because when I take you to Luke 9 after this, you're going to see that it was fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Amen? So we're in Isaiah 50, verse 4. And Isaiah speaks, but it's the Messiah speaking. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. That's okay translation. It's better to say, the sovereign Lord has given me the tongue of the learner, the student, to know the word that sustains the weary. So the picture is, the Messiah says, when I come, I am going to be a student. I'm going to be a learner. I'm going to be mentored by God himself. And then I'm going to know the word to speak to help those who are discouraged and weary. He, God, the sovereign Lord, awakens me morning by morning. The Messiah says, I'm going to wake up every morning to listen to God. He awakens my ear to listen like one being taught. That's the word for the student, for the learner, for the one being discipled. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I've not been rebellious. I've not drawn back. The Messiah says, as I sit and am mentored by God the Father in my humanity, as I'm mentored, as I grow and develop in my humanity, I'm going to embrace his will completely. I'm not going to shrink from it, even though it's going to cost me everything. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Now, Isaiah himself was abused and tortured because of his faithfulness to God. Actually, extra-biblical tradition says he was sawn in two and martyred, which I believe is true. But he's not primarily talking about his own suffering here. We know that for sure from verse 7. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. The Messiah says, when I come, there'll be a moment in time when it's, you got to cross the Rubicon, where I'm going to have to set my face like flint and embrace my destiny. Now look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 51. This is where Luke, in his inspired narrative, gets to the place where much of Jesus' ministry is complete, and now he's going to go on to Jerusalem to fulfill his purpose. And so we read in chapter 9, verse 51, as the time approached for him, Jesus, to be taken up to heaven. That is, as the time approached for him, Jesus, to fulfill his destiny, to embrace the will of God, to go to Jerusalem, to die on the cross, to rise from the dead, and then to ascend again to God. As that time approached, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. You see that? Resolutely set out for Jerusalem. That's an okay translation? No, literally, Jesus resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. Set his face. Isaiah 50, verse 4 through 7. The Messiah says through Isaiah, the day will come when I will set my face like flint, amen? Like flint, unmovable, unshakable, to go to Jerusalem. Because he wanted to please God. That's all. That's enough. Amen? And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. Interesting. The Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans hated the Jews. They were cousins. But the Jews looked down on them. They were the northern tribes that had gone into the Assyrian captivity. They were half-breeds, the Jews said. Inferior racially, spiritually, socially. The untouchables. And so they didn't like each other. Had nothing to do with each other. And so at first thought, when it says they went there, but the people didn't welcome him, it sounds like maybe they were being unkind. They might have been, because that's what they normally did to each other. But there's a bigger picture here. He was heading for what? For Jerusalem. That wasn't the sovereign purpose of God for him to be in that particular village. He's going somewhere else. Now, not everybody knew that. So his disciples, James and John, appropriately named the sons of thunder. When they saw the fact that this village wasn't receiving Jesus, they said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy them? Let's nuke them, Lord. Let's wipe them out. That's how you please God. Just wipe them out. They don't want your gospel. Wipe them out. Jesus turned and rebuked them. Said, you don't know what kind of spirit you're of. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to save their lives. Amen? You don't please God by hating God's enemies. Wow. Wow. You offer them grace, amen? You offer them love, mercy. Look at John chapter 5 as we begin to close this morning. Jesus tells us that even as we share this love, that in order to fully do it, we need to be willing to stand on the truth of his word and his gospel. That's a big challenge in our day. To please God, because in our day, to please a lot of people, they want you to compromise the gospel, even in the church. They want you to compromise the truth of the uniqueness and the exclusivity of Jesus Christ and his ability to forgive sins. And so many people, well-intentioned people, say, no, just there's other ways, you know. There's a lot of ways. God honors any way as long as it's done, you know, faithfully. Jesus says that's not true, right? So we got to find a way to love, but also stand on what's right and what's true. And we live in a day when that's really difficult. Actually, in some places, it's impossible. No matter how much you love, it's not going to matter in that sense. Your reception's going to be bad. Amen? John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus said to those who were opposing him, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. So he says, as you love people, let them know that it's the word of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, that takes us from death to life. You can guarantee him that, he says. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, he's granted the Son to have life in himself. There's life in Jesus. And he's given him, the Son, authority to judge because he's the Son of Man. Jesus says there's a judgment as well. Even in the evangelical church today, that's being denied. And so we need to be aware. We can't please other people. We got to please God with love and truth. God says, if you're not willing to share the truth, you're not fully loving. And if you're fully loving, you will share the truth. Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who've done good will rise to live. Those who've done evil will rise to be condemned. He said, good will be rewarded. Evil will be punished. There's a day of reckoning. There's a day of justice coming. By myself, Jesus said, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. It's righteous. And then he tells you why you can be sure his justice and judgment is righteous. Because I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. It's my only motive. And because my only motive is to please God my Father, you can trust that my judgment will be just. You can trust that my word will be true. Amen? What a God we serve today. What a Savior we serve today. Look at John chapter 8. He emphasizes it again in a little different way, but I want you to hear this. And this will be the last scripture, and then we'll close with a couple of illustrations from our recent ministries. John chapter 8, look at verse 23. Jesus continues to speak to those who resist him. You are from below, I'm from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will die in your sins. He says it. Of course, their response was, who are you? Just what I've been claiming all along. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. Jesus says, my message is from God. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, that is, once I've been crucified, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Always. Always. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. God will use us as his ambassadors as we honor him, as we're more interested in pleasing him than pleasing ourselves, more interested in pleasing him than our family members, our friends, our coworkers. That's tough. That's really tough. Keeping that balance between love and truth, like Dr. Brentley did so powerfully. It's a teachable moment, amen? Always pleasing him, he said. He was the greatest of all the ambassadors. Amen. And I've been so blessed with the ministries that God has allowed us to have as a church. This summer, we've had individuals and teams go out to Ecuador, Brazil, Mississippi, Peru, Haiti, Detroit, and other places as well. Sometimes people in our church, because we're far flung here, it's wonderful. They'll go out, and I'll learn about it in November, that somebody was in another mission field. As soon as I find out, I'll mention it. And we had a number of messages sent, but I don't have a lot of time. I'll share some more in weeks to come, but Billy Boyd, who's one of our elders, was in our first service, and he and his family and his children were out two different countries this summer. Billy sent me an email while he was out there, just on their way back from Haiti, where we've been active since the horrific earthquake there, with the teams going there regularly and money, medical help, all kinds of stuff. Billy said, "Thanks for your prayers. They were felt. Amazing trip. Great work done by our group and the Child Evangelism Fellowship workers. 35 children were saved. 35 children in Haiti gave their life to Jesus Christ. CEF will follow up during the year. God is good all the time," he said. Love it. Then our dear sister Andrea, who was on the Detroit trip, she wrote us a little blog as she went along. In the morning rush, in the Monday morning rush hour, approximately 35 pairs of hands left New York City by bus and went into the city of Detroit to lend our hands for service to God. We cleaned up the inside of the men's shelter. We prepared and served meals to residences and others in need. We cleaned up two blocks in Brightmoor, as well as one family's yard. We packed food at Forgotten Harvest. We partnered with City of Covenant Church. We gave donated food to the families of Brightmoor. We joined hands with Citadel of Faith Church, taught God's word while we engaged with Detroit's children in Vacation Bible School. We sang, gave snacks, bottled water. We prayed with individuals. We shared God's word while the Humane Society administers shots to families, dogs, and cats. It's a full service ministry. A few strong men helped to restore the church and rebuild a house to transform it into a home while changing the block one house at a time. We went to give back to the people of Detroit, to encourage, to pray, to lend a hand, but God is doing so much more. People's lives are being impacted. People's hopes are being restored. People's hearts are being opened. God is breathing new life into Detroit. We see the new Detroit rising from the rubble of hopelessness and despair to a new hope, God's hope. We must continue, however, to pray. There's still much more to be done. I believe God as he transforms this city one person, one block, one family, one neighborhood at a time. There is hope in the Almighty God. There's hope in Detroit. We've touched so many lives as they pulled our hearts to theirs, touching us and transforming us as well. Thanks to Pastor Mike and Pastor Ryan for your leadership and support on this trip. Bob Chansey, I thank God for your obedience to his calling on you for the city of Detroit. I thank God for your igniting our hearts for Detroit. God is certainly all in all. Wow. Pleasing God, amen. Ambassadors for Christ. What a great God we serve. He just wants us to please him. This week, your pastor Dave, I'll look at my heart. Where right now am I not pleasing God? In my relationships, in my work, in my agendas, in my attitudes, in my motives, relationships. Amen. Lord, convict me. Strengthen me that I can be your ambassador to please you today. How about you in those areas? Amen? Let's make it a wonderful week as we ponder 2 Corinthians 5 and prepare to talk about fearing God next time. Let's talk about pleasing him. Amen? Look to our Lord Jesus. Look to the Apostle Paul. Look to Dr. Brentley. Look to our teams that went out serving him all over the world. Amen. Let's trust him to do a great work in our hearts today. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him to please him, to glorify him. Amen. May it be so. In the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's desiring to please the big boss people said, amen. Thank you, Lord, for this time of worship, fellowship, prayer, music. What a beautiful time. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hear our cry now to please you, Lord. Do surgery on us this week, the mind and the heart, that we might be more pleasing to you. And we'll praise you forever in Jesus' name. Amen.